I'd like to first open by thanking those seven precious ladies that came up for prayer. That was truly a sign and a wonder to me personally, and I know that it touched the Father's heart, because up until this time, you know, the church at large has been a church that's been ravaged by the fear of man. And, you know, people have been into performance, and people have been more concerned with what people think of their spirituality than what God thinks. So I just want to thank those seven ladies, because that was truly an act of faith and obedience, and you are blessed. I'll just open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just praise you for this conference. We praise you for this opportunity to gather together in your name and for your highest purpose. And so we give you all praise and honor and glory, Father, and we just thank you that by the power of your Spirit, everything you desire to get accomplished individually and corporately will be accomplished in this time, in Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to cover a lot of territory today, and I just want to say this starting off, that one thing you have to understand about the third day anointing is that the Holy Spirit is in charge. And so if you bring a pure heart, which I believe you have, to this conference, and the incorruptible seed of God's word is put forth, then you don't have to be concerned about keeping up with your mind, because the Holy Spirit will bring things to your remembrance when you need them in the days ahead and in these days. So don't be concerned about that. Just sit back with an open heart, and as you partake of all the worship and all the different teachings, God will accomplish that perfect work in you. I'm going to talk to you today about the power of obedience, and this is where it begins and ends for us as Christians. We're called to obey God. Everything we do, everything we accomplish will be because we first obeyed God. And so I'm going to deal with some things, and first of all, I'm going to lay a foundation, because it's extremely important. We are at the end of the age. We need to know the absolute truths of God. We don't need to be caught up in religious activity or religious thinking. We need to know that which is coming forth from the throne room and act on it. So first of all, perfect obedience. Let's just define that quickly. It's not something that we make up ourselves. Perfect obedience combines of two things, always. One, a revelation of God's will. And two, the unction or the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which is abiding within you, by the way. That's extremely important. If people attempt to serve God apart from these two things, all you have is religious works and religious activity. And God is coming to judge that radically in these days. But we want to be a people who are pure of heart and who are completely sold out to perfect obedience. So I'll just start off with a foundation. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but there are some things that every Christian has to know if they're going to go on with God in these days. And the first one is the divine requirement. Luke 10:27 states, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." That encompasses everything. Everything that you read in the scriptures is based on that requirement. And if people attempt to establish things in the kingdom, people attempt to build buildings or whatever they're attempting to do, apart from a heart that's wholly given to God, then it is dead works. So that's a revelation that we have to have. We have to realize that our God is an absolute God, and that the divine requirement is absolute. But the simplicity of the whole matter is, if we get that revelation, then we can move forward in fellowship with God, and we can establish this foundation in our lives, and we will not be led astray, and most importantly, we won't be trying to presumptuously do things that are apart from Christ. And again, everything that God has spoken and will speak to us is based on this principle in our lives. Very important. Because it's when you have a heart that's wholly given to God that you will have the key to understanding all the things you need to understand as far as spiritual reality goes. Apart from that, there's room for deception to get in. We've seen the results of that, but we're not here to dwell on the negative. We're here to allow God to prepare us so that we can be a beacon, we can be a shining light to all those who are still caught up in darkness, And then ultimately, as the glorious church takes legs, then we will be a light to this world, a powerful light. So a heart wholly given to God is the key to understanding all the things you need to understand. And as we each do our part individually in obedience, we will see the corporate revelation and the corporate manifestation of the glorious church in the earth. Paul said in Ephesians 3, he said that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. In other words, if we're not rooted and grounded in love, first of all, loving God with all our heart, and of course, it's only from that position that we can love one another. You know, you can love somebody who loves you, but as soon as the hard times come, if it's not the love of God in your heart, then you're not going to be found walking in love. And we are going to be tempted, and we have been tempted to move apart from the love walk. But now we are a people that are rooted and grounded in love, and consequently, we will be able to withstand all things and overcome all things by the divine empowerment working within us. Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see. They shall have spiritual eyes to see in this hour. You know, it's an amazing thing to think about it, and I certainly don't know the numbers, although God does. How many people, born-again people, actually have a revelation of the glorious church? That it is God's will for a spotless and unblemished church to manifest in this earth before the end of the age. Well, I'll tell you, every Christian needs that. Because without a revelation of God's will, and that's one that continues on and escalates, then there is going to be very large holes in your prophetic timetable. And we cannot afford that. We cannot afford that. We need to know what season it is. We need to be walking in obedience and walking in the fullness of God's destiny in Christ for us. Interesting to note that in Ephesians 1:1, Paul began his letter to the Ephesians by saying, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus." And you know, as I was reading that one day, I realized instantaneously that everything that's written past that first verse concerning the glorious church is for those who are faithful. There will not be those who are unfaithful entering into that place. So we have to realize that. This is absolute. God loves his children, but only those who are faithful will be able to enter into the fullness of all that he has planned in this hour. And thank God many will be delivered, as we'll go on to talk about a bit, as God's people are faithful, and again, are that beacon and that shining light. The second thing that is so extremely important as far as a foundation, as far as true kingdom living goes, as far as fulfilling your destiny in Christ, is intimacy with God. Without a heart wholly given, without intimacy with God, we are walking in darkness. It's that simple. Now, intimacy is characterized by a pronounced closeness of friendship or association, deeply personal. That's simple enough. And of course, God gave me a title a few years ago, and I still love this title, and it was Intimacy, the Key to the Fullness of Transition. Transition into what? From the world into the fullness of kingdom living. That is God's will for every Christian walking the face of this earth. So transition is defined as the act or state of passing from one place, condition, or action to another. The time, period, or place of such passage. We've all been in transition. Transition is a wonderful thing. Not to the flesh, it's not. Because the flesh likes to find its own security. It like even in spiritual things, or so-called spiritual things. But I'll tell you, we're in transition. And we are at a time, not just because more time has passed, that's certainly true, but we are in a time like no other. And so these things are very important for us to grasp. And we know we need to be a people who walk by faith. People who are not moved by what we feel or hear or see or think, but rather by a revelation of God's word. As I mentioned, the first aspect of walking in perfect obedience is revelation. We're going to deal a little more with some of these things as we go. The principles of the kingdom are very simple, but the understanding of them is predicated upon one having a continually deeper revelation of the absoluteness of God There is no partiality in God. Our God is absolute. And it's only as we fellowship with Him, we come to know Him, we come to know His heart, and we obey Him as we gain revelation of His will, that we come to know Him and trust Him. I mean, really trust Him. Very important. Another aspect of fellowship with God, Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5, he mentioned praying without ceasing. Now, what does that mean? Now, to a religious person, that may mean or seem impossible, because how can you spend that much time? What it really means is we are to communicate with God without ceasing. We're to acknowledge Him in all our ways and thus allow Him to direct our paths. Again, I've always said this, the true Christian life is simple, but it's absolute in the sense that God's requirement is absolute. And it will only be done by walking in line with Him and with His Spirit. There's a reason why Jesus said it was a narrow path, and that broad path was a path of destruction. So what really basically Paul's talking about here is abiding in Christ. Now that's an important word. Really abiding, or we take the word abode. We make our abode somewhere. We make our home there. We dwell there. That's our headquarters. That's the place from which we go out from at all times. Now this is a daily thing I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to a people who will one day try that, the next day go their own way. We're talking about abiding in Christ. We're talking about day-to-day obedience. And as I go on here, I'm going to mention or talk a bit about what are some of the manifestations or the power of obedience. In other words, when you're walking in obedience, the manifestations that happen. People will never find that out until they walk in obedience. Now, God's been dealing with all of us over the years, many years, to deal with any ground of fear in us and deal with anything that would keep us out of that place of trusting Him and walking in love. So we're going to deal with some more things here. Again, we are going to be a people who walk by revelation. And that is without exception. You know, I'm not here to talk about the manifestation of the glorious church or the different things that are going to happen today. I'd like to, but I've done that before because it's a good thing. But we are a people who are being readied to walk in the fullness of that. In the place of abiding, we will see in these days things that are incomprehensible. Don't look out at the past actions of the church. Look unto Jesus. Spend the time in fellowship with God. Get a revelation from the throne room. Know the Father's heart. Because these are the things that are going to cause you to walk in obedience. These are the things that are going to cause you to overcome in all things. And when you overcome, that includes devastating Satan and his strongholds. Each one of you has a course that's been laid out, that's already been prepared in the heart of the Father. And as you begin to abide in obedience, you will simply walk into it. Everything is prepared. Don't ever worry about the future. God's hand is on you, and it will remain on you. Again, true prayer. And we talk about prayer. Again, we want to get the idea of communicating with God continually, praying without ceasing. True prayer is always going to come from that time in your time with God. True prayer is a result of revelation, not a good thought, or not being influenced by outward circumstances, but to go into that place, gain a revelation, speak the words that God gives you, and believe them, and then those things will begin to manifest. The key to one guarding their heart with all diligence, that is acknowledging God in all our ways, and thus coming to the place of abiding, in the place of walking by revelation, is the inner chamber. Now you can give it whatever name you want. I received that name. Actually, it was a book by Andrew Murray written many, many, many years ago. And so that stuck with me. But you can call it whatever you want, your prayer closet. But definitely, it is the secret, the place where you go, where you abide in the secret place of God's presence. It's a powerful place. You know, I could stand here and preach this to you, but unless you enter in on God's terms, you won't experience the spiritual transaction that God desires to impart to you. It's like if people don't enter in there, they're not going to know. But when they enter in there, when they take that step in faith, when they run boldly to him in a time of help, in a time of need, there is an impartation of grace that comes. And that's there to be experienced. And his arms are open. His arms are open. Now, I'll give you this word that he gave me, because I really don't have a better way to define what he was getting across to me at the time. This is a word from the Father on the inner chamber. The inner chamber is that place wherein one communes with me in secret. And it means shutting out the world and shutting in themselves unto me. The inner chamber is not first and foremost a time frame. It is first and foremost a proper heart position before me as each new day begins. As one abides in the proper heart position, then they shall surely be doing perfectly all that I require of them concerning the inner chamber. Therefore, let each one of my children walk in the manner in which I have assigned them concerning the inner chamber. That's clear enough. So the responsibility now is on every individual Christian to find out what that means. It's different for everybody, but it is compulsory. If you want to walk in the fullness of God's destiny for you in Christ, and that's what you want. And I'm going to deal with some scriptures later on that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt we have no other purpose in this earth other than to obey God. The inner chamber is the place of empowerment. It is the key to the fullness of transition in kingdom living, into kingdom living. Dwelling or abiding in the presence of the Lord is the key to receiving all that the Father has for us in Christ. You see, that's why people get in trouble when they don't put the word first, when they don't enter in by faith into his presence, because they fall short of the glory when they don't apply these principles to their life, because that's what God requires. I mean, you know, we could take it to the natural. I mean, if we're an earthly parent and our kids never have anything to do with us from the time they're young, that would be an upsetting thing. How much more the Father? And then there's the whole aspect, as I said earlier, that God has been dealing with us as far as any ground of fear. And, you know, fear produces self-desire, self-effort, all the things that come from the mind of the flesh. And whereas faith, and the faith working by love, produces godly desire. And this is one or the other. A Christian's going to be walking in one of those two things. John 7:17 says, "If any man is willing to do his will, he shall know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who is seeking the glory of the one who sent him is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him." Very important kingdom principle. It doesn't matter how spiritually far along a person is. If they're truly willing to do the will of God, or even, you know, be made willing to do to be willing to do the will of God, they'll know. They'll know that which is of God and that which isn't. We're going to see that in this day. And we're going to see people get born again and enter into the fullness of kingdom living in a very short time, just simply because their hearts are submitted to God. So we need to be those people that are walking in that place, because then we're going to be righteously motivated in all things. You see, there's a progression here in what I'm teaching. When we spend the time with God, God begins to do things in us. We begin to have a revelation of his word, of his character. We begin to develop, or he develops, godly desire within us. And those desires are rising up. And that causes us to love obedience. Not fear it, but love it. See, this is all a spontaneous manifestation of God's power. We cannot obey God in our own strength. If we could, it would have been finished by now. And we can't. And we know that. But what I'm saying to you is that the work that God desires to do through the glorious church is so awesome. And the power of God that will be released is so awesome that all he needs are vessels that are wholly given to him, and then he'll pour that out. I just would love to go into teaching about that right now, but I did that at a conference previously. We got to stick with this. But it's important. And I'm telling you, the things that are going to happen between now and the time we're caught up out of here are almost incomprehensible, even to the mind that's renewed. So we need to be a people who just simply seek that obedience and to love God with all our heart. We know that in the church, what some people up until this time have called obedience to the Lord is nothing more than service to Satan. It's allowed Satan to establish an organization, a hierarchy, that is rooted in fear, not rooted in love and obedience. But that's coming down big time. And if it doesn't come down in that spot, people are going to be brought out and brought to true spiritual environments. God's heart is with the sheep. And they, if a person's heart is towards God, they will end up in the right place. Another word from the Lord. He said, if my children strive in their own strength to obey me, then it is certain that if the blessings of obedience were to overtake them, that they would claim the glory for themselves. Again, it's a heart position. If we truly want God to receive all the glory in all that we do, then we will simply walk in obedience, and all the blessings, all the empowerments of God will overtake us. And we will certainly fulfill all that God has called us to. But if there's any element of ground, a ground of self, then that and fear and rebellion, ultimately, it fuels self-desire and self-effort and presumption and those things. And of course, we see from that dead works, religious works. Paul made it quite clear that all things would become evident. We would see what was of God, what was not of God, and fire will do that job. John 15, a very difficult scripture to get away from. Starting in verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, it's amazing to think that Jesus, when he walked in his earthly ministry, the things that he said, because he is the true and perfect prototype of a third-day minister or third-day ministry. That's the absolute truth. He was speaking things here that we can readily apply now. But when he spoke these things at first, they were simply seeds going in. And even through the time of the early church, there were years and years where the apostles, Paul was a good example, where these things were worked out in their lives. And it's continued for 2,000 years, and it will continue. But this generation will walk in the fullness of all that God intended. This generation will bear maximum fruit for the kingdom. And the world will be turned upside down. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish or whatever you desire, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Again, we begin to see the importance of obedience. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. You see, again, this is, again, one of the first things. As we obey, it begins to kick a lot of things into action. Things that, it's a lifestyle. And we have to understand that obedience is the key for us, and that Jesus has called us his friends if we obey him. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times. Now, I'm not dealing here with the definition that the world has of a friend. Because the best you can have in the world is a fair-weather friend. In other words, your friend will stay with you as long as things are going well, but as soon as they aren't, they'll take off. We're talking about an eternal friend here. and I'm not going to go into this today, but it would serve every Christian well to have a revelation of what the word friend really means as far as the kingdom. And basically, just to summarize that, if we're truly going to be friends, if we're truly going to love one another, then we're going to obey God on the behalf of all those that God brings across our path and those that we are blessed to call friends. Very, very important. Again, 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So God is bringing us to the place where His love is continually shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. And that leads us to love Him with all our heart and love one another with that divine love that abides within us. A simple thing. I'm gonna deal with something a little further on. And just to put this all together, because nothing is separate in this kingdom cycle. All right, the absolute call to obedience. Again, these scriptures, very familiar to all of us, but my heavens, we need to have a revelation, a burning revelation of this in our heart. Romans 6:16, do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Paul paints an excellent picture here. In any given moment, we're going to be obeying someone. We want to be righteously motivated, be obeying God. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, for the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf, so that they might no longer live for themselves. We are called to obedience. It's all that matters. And all the things that lead to that are all that matter. That's very important. In these days, we are going to find out clearly those who are obedient and those who are disobedient. Those who truly love God and those who don't truly love God. Those who serve God and those who don't serve God. And I'm basing that on his estimation of who they're serving. Hebrews 5:8-9 says, although he was a son, he learned obedience, speaking of Jesus, from those things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Another manifestation of your obedience, an active source of eternal salvation is operating in your life. Very, very important. The covenant. Knowing the fullness of the covenant. We're going to need that in this last hour. We're going to need to be a people who have a revelation of everything that Christ bought for us at Calvary. To walk in it, certainly we'll be blessed in our own lives. But to set the captives free, to be a sign and a wonder, to be a people who make a difference instead of just a people who attend church every Sunday or Wednesday or any other day. No, to make a difference. God has big plans. And every last Christian should just have a burning desire to be all that they can be in Christ. God will use those who are faithful. I just want to define suffering here because a lot of people cringe when they hear that word. Now, Peter was talking about suffering, and he said, well, you know, you're called to suffer for righteousness' sake. And he said, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, then the Spirit of glory will rest upon you. That doesn't sound like a punishment to me. But what happened was the devil, because the devil's main thing is to keep the Christian out of the power of God. They can be religious, they can go to church, but he's got to keep them out of the power of God. Because the power of God is there to set the captives free and to destroy him and his works. So this is a word that he gave me, and it made it quite clear. The suffering that my children are called to in this earth is to stand continually against all the things which they have been redeemed from. It is in no way associated with physical sickness or any other manifestation of the law of sin and death. Let's be clear about this. But rather, it is to continually release faith in my word, regardless of the pressure of the circumstances which surround them. As their minds become transformed and renewed to my word, suffering shall become the joyful opportunity to further establish my kingdom in the earth. It was intended to be, rather than the sorrowful, painful concept religion has made it to be through fear and unbelief. Now, that again, these are the absolute truths of God. I mean, we need to understand what God meant when he said what he said. And we do that by fellowshipping with him, fellowshipping with his word. Whatever you need to know, he'll teach you. You don't need to know everything, none of us do. But we will know what we need to know. And as we individually take that and walk in obedience with that, then corporately we'll come together in that perfect completion in Christ. Luke 16:10 says, "He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much." Another kingdom principle. You know, coming to that place of abiding in Christ, coming to that place of perfect faithfulness where we're seeking the will of God. We're seeking first the kingdom. We're seeking to be righteously motivated in all things. If we make a mistake, God will correct us. That's not a problem with God. The problem is when people set their heart on something that is apart from a revelation of God's will, and then they just pursue it with all their strength, it blinds them to everything else. There's a reason why things happen the way they've happened. There's a reason why there are people out there in darkness in the church that shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. But again, God is raising up a remnant, a glorious church that will be a beacon, a shining light to all those who desire to be set free. And all those who desire to be set free will be set free in this final hour. Here's a word he gave me. As you are obedient to even the smallest details of my will, you shall cause the big things to come to pass. I mean, I can guarantee you that everybody has gotten a vision of some sort that magnificent. You know, maybe they got it. We got it in our early walk and it just blew us away. But the whole essence is not keeping our eyes fixed on the outcome of that. It's being obedient day in and day out. When you are walking in faith and obedience, you will inherit that promise. You will inherit that vision that God gave you. It will come to pass. And I know it will come in a way that is exceeding abundantly beyond all you could have even imagined, and even to your sanctified mind. So it's a time to hold fast like no other. Perfect obedience is the key to true prosperity. Now, what is true prosperity? It does involve finances, but it involves everything. Spirit, soul, body, finances. What it really means is you are going to have whatever you need in any given circumstance to fulfill the will of God. If somebody needs healing, you can't just fling money at them. You see what I mean? It's just all ordered by God. That's prosperity. Knowing that you're equipped to fulfill the will of God in any given moment, spirit, soul, body, or financially. Well, now I'm going to introduce you to Flora. Now, Flora is not a person I know. Flora is a name or a number of letters put together for me to remember something that God showed me a while back, a number of years ago. I was not, or at least I thought I was in a bad place. Turned out I was in a pretty good place. Although there was persecution, a lot of other things, a lot of darkness. And so that's when I began to develop a confession. And, you know, it just dealt with faith and love and obedience, walking in revelation, depending on the anointing. And this is honestly a true story. I'm at a spot where I'm going out to pray in the Spirit for about 6 hours a day because I can't sit still without the devil just absolutely trying to get out my mind. So in this particular morning, I had all these things, the faith, love, obedience, revelation, anointing, rolling through me, and I saw how they all came together as far as God's kingdom purposes. So I thought, well, I better see if I can get some letters so I can remember that right off the bat. Well, that's how I got Flora. So I'm walking through this city. I'd only been in it once before. I didn't know anything about the city, and I'm just, you know, I know God's faithful, but, you know, you can know God's faithful and not feel very good.
So you're just going along. So I'm walking along, and I got this confession. I walk by faith, not by sight. I walk by love, not by sight. I walk by obedience, not by sight. I walk by revelation, and not by sight. I walk by the empowerment of the anointing that abides within, and not by sight. And I'm just walking along, and the Holy Spirit, I went, Flora Street. It's the honest truth. Boy, that was a better day from then. See, God has his ways of letting us, we know by faith that he'll never fail us or forsake us. But boy, he never lets us endure more than we can stand. And I was at that place. I needed to see that sign. That's the faithfulness of God. We have to remember there's an anointing upon every child of God to walk in obedience. You know, we go through struggles in the past and even now with, oh God, I just can't obey, I can't obey. It's because we're still trying to do it in our own strength. We need to enter into rest. We need to cease striving from our own works. That includes trying to be holy. It includes trying to walk in obedience. Another aspect of obedience, the only way to fully appreciate and enjoy my blessings, the Father speaking, is to be constant in obedience to my word and my spirit. You see, I remember when I started out, and I'm sure you can all relate to this, I would see a blessing of God come forth, and then I would just stop everything, and I would suck that thing dry for about 2 or 3 weeks. And then I'd get all dry again, and I'd say, oh Lord, you know, where'd you go? And then he blessed me again, and I'd go through that same process. You know, and finally I realized that something's wrong here. Too much up and down stuff. And that's when he began to teach me that if we will just simply take the next step in obedience, when God blesses us, not only will we gain a deeper appreciation of that blessing, but we'll also be in a position to use that blessing to bless those who cross our path. The first aspect of the Abrahamic covenant of faith is blessed to be a blessing. So we can't stop and take it upon ourselves. I can tell you that the very residue of any blessing of God that is coming through you will be more than sufficient. And so our focus needs to be on blessing those who cross our path. And here, again, our heart attitude towards God. The greatest thanksgiving that the child of God can give to the Father for the abundant blessing that he has blessed them with is for them to thank him and then continue on in perfect obedience. Do you ever get the in a place where you are so blessed, you are so thankful to God, you feel like you're going to explode because you can't express it properly? Take the next step in obedience. That blesses his heart and again blesses those who cross your path. Our life is a life of action. I'm not talking about presumptuous action. I'm talking again about a revelation. Sometimes it calls for an instant action right away. But it may be somewhere down the road. But either way, take the next step in obedience. That is the way to continually express your thanksgiving to God and to be the greatest blessing you can be to all those who cross your path. Don't sit still and admire it. You can admire it, but do it while you're acting in obedience. Some more spontaneous results of perfect obedience. It is the obedience of each individual member of the body which will allow the greater effect of the body to be manifested in the earth. That is the principle of the body. As each one of us, every last member, obeys God individually, and we're seeing that in this hour, even this gathering together in this time, we're seeing an example of that. You came here because you're obedient. And the fact is, it's going to cause some great things to happen, not just in this during this conference, but in the days ahead. Everything that God establishes, everything that's accomplished through obedience is eternal. It's eternal. It cannot be anything else. We can take great rejoicing in that, knowing that as we're steadfast and immovable, that everything we do in obedience, everything we do in love is not in vain. I just want to go back to Flora for a bit. These things are connected. When you walk in faith, you take that step in faith. Faith, we know that faith works by love. So when you walk in faith, you're exercising love towards God and love towards those with whom you have to do. We know that that love manifests in obedience. In other words, obedience is simply the action of love. A revelation of God's will or God's love. and that action of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit. When you walk in obedience, you will always be in a state of receiving revelation knowledge. See, that revelation knowledge is key not only to gain what we need to know for obedience, but also to show us what's going on, to reveal the enemy's schemes. But you will be in a position of abiding in revelation knowledge. That's what we're called to be in that place. That's not nice to get, you know, just get a nice little revelation every 2 or 3 days. We're talking about abiding in revelation knowledge, knowing in our heart that we know what we need to know. And then, of course, armed with those four things, then the anointing. You're abiding in that anointing. It's operating whenever we need it. Whether we're silent or whether we're operating the gifts of the Spirit, whatever. It manifests as the Spirit wills. Why? Because that anointing is abiding within us. And then, faith becomes a way of life. Love becomes a way of life. Obedience becomes a way of life. Revelation becomes a way of life. And the anointing is continually abiding within us, moving exactly how the Holy Spirit wants us to. That is the kingdom cycle. You can't separate those things. I could go through 100 scriptures easily that prove that, and you could substitute any of those words. If you love me, you'll obey me, Jesus said. If you obey me, you're going to be found walking in faith. They all go together. So you meditate on that, because those things are inseparable. And I could do the opposite of that. Faith could be fear. This is the cycle of disobedience. Fear leading to hatred, leading to disobedience, leading to mental ascension to God's word. In other words, fueled by the desire to be right in your own thinking rather than know the will of God. And then the power of the flesh, or the mind of the flesh, fueling all this thing. It's a burning cycle. It's not good. So you could see the absolute difference between those two cycles. No, we need to walk in the kingdom cycle. Getting back to spontaneous results of perfect obedience, I dealt with the one where our individual obedience will lead to the full manifestation of God's will concerning the glorious church. Here's one. Some of the results of your perfect obedience. Anybody here got someone they've been praying for a long time? Children, friends, people that God's brought across your path? Of course, we all do. It will take perfect obedience on your part to tear down any remaining strongholds in the hearts and minds of those you love. Examine yourself in the light of God's word and the light of the Holy Spirit and in the presence of God. And start to move with a pinpoint accuracy in your own life as far as obedience goes. You will see the strongholds come down. Now, when you're praying for somebody, again, we go back to the point where we need to have a revelation of what God is having us pray. I'm not going to go into that right now. Simple stuff. But when you walk in perfect obedience in your own life, you will begin to see these things come down powerfully. Things that look impossible, don't be moved by that. It's just the devil. Perfect obedience is the catalyst of light. In other words, when you diligently seek to obey God, you're going to walk in the light as He is in the light. You're going to have revelation. You're going to be empowered by the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. The world needs the wisdom of God. They still think they're going to overcome by human effort, as they just spiral downward and downward and downward into darkness. Obedience, your personal obedience to God, brings forth a necessary confrontation. Now, as the believers beginning to walk in the fullness of their inheritance in Christ, God, as we obey, will confront. If there's any fear in us, He'll confront that. Ever been given an instruction of obedience and got, oh, I don't know about that. Other ones, we just jump, oh yeah, I like that one. No, we can't be like that. So when God deals with us, and it doesn't matter what He tells us to do, we're going to do it because that revelation is burning in our heart. We go forth. Then it's going to confront any ground of fear in the people that cross our path. So, but obedience will confront fear. It confronted the Pharisees. It confronted every religious activity that crossed Jesus' path. But it also confronted, in a positive way, the pure-hearted. And He spoke and spoke and spoke the wisdom of God and the truths of the kingdom. There is no problem for the Christian that perfect obedience cannot eliminate. Therefore, the only problem a Christian has is disobedience. You think about that. I mean, when you're diligently seeking to walk in obedience, And again, it goes back to that kingdom cycle I talked about. You're going to be walking by faith. Faith in what? Faith in the, all that which you've been redeemed into. Yeah, and you can walk in the fullness of your covenant. And it's an amazing thing. We're talking anything from divine protection. And we're going to be a church that knows of our covenant. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Right now, the Father is in the business of exalting the name of Jesus. And I'll tell you this right now. Every last drop of blood that was shed at Calvary will be justified in the eyes of man. I mean, we will see all that Jesus accomplished for us. And we as a church will walk in it as a glory unto that blood. And I'm not going to go into that now. But I just will say this. We have to realize that spiritual reality dictates that unbelief and presumption and rebellion is an absolute and blatant denial of the blood of Jesus. And that's what God is basing his judgment, coming judgment upon. And so we need to be a people who walk in obedience and lead others into that place of obedience. That's spiritual reality. We say, well, that's really not connected. No, it is connected. It's the devil that's trying to, you know, disconnect the people of God from spiritual reality, from the absolute truths. But we're going to put them forth. So there is no problem. If you got a problem, get into faith. You won't have that problem anymore soon. You know, I got into a situation where I was struggling, and I just couldn't get out of it. Didn't matter what I tried, that was the problem. I was trying, but I couldn't get out of it. And so finally, God dealt with, you know, you get to that spot where God is just dealing with things you don't even know are there. So, you know, you just, okay, I understand that. So finally, I realized what he was trying to get across to me, and I just began to walk in obedience. Well, I had some circumstances to deal with, some consequences, and I didn't like that. That's not pleasant. But isn't that the way? You know, you goof off for a while and you cause consequences, and then in a day you want the thing to be rectified. Well, from the moment you repent, it is beginning to be rectified in God's thing. But you know what he said to me? Oh, an amazing piece of wisdom. He said, just spend some time in obedience. And I did. And you know, God righted everything. And that's, so if we have a problem, it's disobedience. When we obey, spend some time in obedience and watch the unfolding of God's power on your behalf. As your life is conformed to perfect obedience, so shall my word flow forth from you in the fullness of conviction. As you walk in perfect obedience, I'll tell you, the power of God is with you to accomplish whatever he wants to accomplish. And you are going to be a convicting force. I mean, in this last hour, people are going to run in terror from the anointing that abides within you. And they're also going to enter into the fullness of kingdom living. So don't be moved by the rampant emotionalism you see. You are a convicting force in this earth. Without us, people are lost in deep darkness, and they'll stay there too. And of course, this will devastate the strongholds of the evil one. It's one reason, another reason why we need to be rooted and grounded in love. We're not moved by what people are doing. People get mad at us for speaking the absolute truths of God. I'd rather have people get mad at me for speaking the absolute truths of God than be happy with me for being a compromiser. It is only perfect obedience in their own lives which can keep my intercessors from being overwhelmed by the sin of the ones they are called to intercede for. When you are put in a position of intercession, whatever that may mean, there are some full-time intercessors, of course, but whatever, wherever you're called to go, however you're called to stand in the gap, there is a spiritual transaction taking place there. And when you're faithful to walk in love and obedience at all costs to yourself, lay down your life for your friends, as Jesus said, then there's going to be a powerful attack against you. And you're going to feel the draw of the very sin that Satan is trying to keep that person in. And if you're not walking in love, or rooted and grounded in love, rooted and grounded in obedience, there is going to be an overwhelming for a time. So again, that goes back to what I said earlier. Be diligent. Walk in obedience and watch the strongholds of Satan come down. Don't ever think that because you don't see something happening or because you feel overwhelmed by the force of evil working in those you're called to intercede for, that nothing's happening. Again, if you stay, if you steadfast in that, you will see not only the devil's defeat, but his total defeat, and you will see liberty. See, we are vessels of liberty to this world, to the people in the church, but to the people in the world also. Don't ever underestimate your job in the body. You are very, very valuable in the plan of God. To the degree that you are walking in perfect obedience, it is to that degree that you shall be able to abide in a supernatural endurance. Ever feel tired and fatigued? Take the next step in obedience and just keep going. And you need to get to a place where you're going to walk in obedience. I don't care if you have to crawl to where you're going. When you take these steps in obedience, the anointing will kick in. That's a spiritual principle. If you're waiting for the power of God to make you feel good and feel strong to go out, you're going to have a long wait. You go whether you feel good or not. Again, you get a revelation and you walk, the anointing will come. I've tested God in this, not on purpose. But, you know, I finally realized that I don't feel like moving, just do whatever I can. The anointing always comes, always, always, always. If God calls you, then he equips you. I mean, it's foolishness to believe the lies of the enemy. But unfortunately, it's a little more subtle than that. We may get the feeling or the thought that, well, maybe that wasn't God's will. Again, this is the importance of abiding in fellowship with God. You know, spending that time with God. When things get a little hectic, go into the presence of God. You know, nothing's going to collapse because you take off an hour to go spend time in the presence of God. As a matter of fact, the way of the kingdom is this. You may think you have 10 hours of things to do and not enough time to do it in. Stop everything. Go into the presence of God. You'll get that done in half the time. I don't know how he does it. It's supernatural. It's the same way he increases food, does things like that. It's supernatural. It doesn't make sense to the natural. But when we put our faith in God and we act in obedience, these things happen. Okay. Six necessary revelations of life in the kingdom, and these are all predicated on obedience. The first aspect of obedience is to be obedient in our time of fellowship with God. Everything else is successive to that. It goes on from that. Everything else. Number one, every child of God must continually seek to come to the place wherein they have a revelation of each and every aspect of the glorious covenant they have with the Father in Christ. Psalms tells us that when we come into his presence, he freely reveals his covenant to us. We need to have a revelation. You know, we can't just be a people who say, oh, well, yeah, I see it says no weapon formed against us shall prosper. That seems to work for that person over there, but boy, it doesn't work for me. And people are maintaining fear in their heart. No, we need to have a revelation of each and every glorious aspect. Number two, as one enters into the fullness of their salvation or their inheritance in Christ, in this third day, they are going to have to be continually clothed and empowered by the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, believe it. You need the power of the blood of Jesus. You need a revelation of the power of the blood of Jesus. That's very important. You cannot maintain righteous motivation apart from the blood of Jesus. And faith in the power of the blood of Jesus working effectively in your life. Get three, gaining and maintaining a deep revelation of the precious blood of Jesus and its powerful effects is the key to consistent fellowship with the Father in the inner chamber. I mean, how many times have we run across a problem, got into sin, made a mistake, done something wrong, and we just take some time away from God because we're too ashamed to go into the presence of God? When you have a powerful revelation of the effects of the blood of Jesus, you will run to God. And immediately, as 1 John 1:9 says, you will be cleansed from all unrighteousness. That's how you maintain righteous motivation. It's the only way. And of course, that continual revelation of the blood causes us to run into that inner chamber. Boy. Number four, all true kingdom work is predicated upon one being solely in Christ. Jesus said we can do nothing apart from him. We need to be in Christ. Well, who's Christ? Christ is the anointed one and his anointing. Well, 1 John 2:27, the anointing abides within us. He'll keep us. I mean, again, all these things, you know, you do a teaching now on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's all encompassing. We are equipped, but we need to be in that place of faith, love, obedience, revelation, and dependence upon the anointing that abides within. Number five, if we have the deep assurance in our heart that we are in the center of the Father's will and purpose, then it is certain that we shall be found standing or overcoming in all things. Again, revelation. revelation of God's will for your life. You don't need to know everything. I don't need to know everything. But we can have the assurance we know that we're in the center of God's will and that we know what we need to know in any given moment. And if we need to know something in the next moment, it's going to be there too. It takes a lot of pressure off everything, and it keeps our eyes fixed on Jesus. Keeps us walking in that place of overcoming. Why? We have a deep assurance in our heart that we're in the will of God. Oh, there's going to be people that tell you you're not. I've had people for 20 years tell me I'm not in the will of God at different segments along the line. Thank God I didn't listen to them. I'm telling you, these things work because God himself was the one that brought me through. Of course, it's the same for all of us. The grace of God. But in this last hour, it will be an intense battle, but it will be a glorious victory. Number six, every child of God needs to know and understand what it is to be loved by the Father. Having a revelation of the Father's perfect love is the catalyst to one abiding in an absolute trust toward and faith in him. Revelation. Again, you know, I talk about fellowshipping with God. You know, this is not some obligatory duty that's upon us. We're talking about entering into the presence of absolute perfection. A God that loves us and that has done so much for us. And that's wonderful in itself. But to actually know that as we go in there, a spiritual transaction takes place that will empower us and cause us to fulfill our destiny in Christ, that's just icing on the cake. But it's a continual thing that he requires and he desires. Not just requires, desires. Three things I'll close with. Outside circumstances do not affect perfect obedience. Perfect obedience affects outside circumstances. Now, I'll tell you this. You know, one thing is very important. You're in an environment here. It's a true spiritual environment. It's an excellent environment. And a true spiritual environment is simply an environment where God can do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, and however he wants to do it. And that's extremely important. And that's in that environment, you're going to see changes in your life. And it's you're going to be able to take something back with you that will enable you to just go on and on. The growth now is not just a gradual growth anymore. This is an accelerated time frame in the lives of those who are faithful. But it will take obedience and it will take that time with your eyes fixed on Jesus. The devil's desperate. Don't listen to his lies. He's a liar. And he can't do anything but lie. In these days, you'll see him coming down the road about 100 yards away with waving red flags saying, "Here I come with a lie." That's the way it should be when you're in right fellowship with God. If you consider anything more important than walking in perfect obedience, then get it out of your life. There isn't anything in our lives that's worth keeping, because anything other than the desire to walk in perfect obedience, anything that's maintained apart from that is idolatry, pure and simple. You can put a nice name on it and dress it up in a very nice way. It's still idolatry. Nothing but nothing should be between us and God. He is first. He should always be first. Now here's a word. This is the time we're in right now. This is the reality of this season. The time has come for those of my precious ones who have been faithful and obedient to be exalted. Now I just want to just briefly define that. We know the scripture, he who exalts himself will be humbled, he who humbles himself will be exalted. God gave me a word on that one time, and he said, when I exalt my children, it's simply to give them the platform that I desire for them to have to release everything that I've given them. That's revelation or whatever else. That's what that means, not to get out there and be seen by people. You're out there, you'll be seen by people. You won't like it. Nasty stuff. So it's the time for those who've been faithful and obedient to be exalted. And their lives and their ministries shall be flooded with my glory. Flooded. You need to have a firm foundation just to not be carried away by the actual flood of God's Spirit and blessing in this hour. These are realities, but we will be a people. Meditate on Psalm 1. And they shall be called the glorious ones of God, the sons and daughters of the Most High. They'll be called that. But first of all, you're going to have to call yourself that. And you're going to have to believe that in your heart. And then you will be, that will be manifested in your life and ministry. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Father, that the spirit of obedience rests heavily upon all those whose hearts are wholly given to you. And we thank you, Father, for the great signs and wonders in these days and the days ahead, to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.